Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time for us to get inside your business. Amongst the really helpful things that can help within your business, particularly if you happen to be an investment manager, is the presence of investment assets. Now, for the better part of the month that I've been standing in for Google, we've been speaking about the policy that came into effect on the 1st of September, or the first working day, 2nd of September, which of course is the implementation of the two-pot system. We've been talking about the excited and massive response that we've seen from South Africans, to the extent of certain pension fund administrators' systems shutting down because of the demand for people to withdraw, albeit a limited amount of money from their funds. That, of course, highlights what's happened in the last month of the third quarter of 2024. However, if we look at what's happened in the second quarter of 2024, it augurs very well for all of us that were worried about the potential risks of all those withdrawals. And that is that, according to ASISA, the collective investment schemes industry, which is obviously, as we discussed with Stokvels and the like, and is the savings industry effectively on the retail side, has actually reported another high in assets under management. Jeanette Mulder, Senior Policy Advisor at the ASISA, the Association for Savings and Investments for South Africa, joins me now to talk a little bit about those drivers. Jeanette, welcome to Kaya Biz. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations. I mean, I don't know if the congratulations are for you, but great news for us in the savings sector.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. Yes, it's a record high in assets under management for unit trusts. But viewers do need to understand that it's on the back of performance, not necessarily of individuals that saved more.
Got you. All right. And so they grew 2% from the last quarter, and they grew 8.3% versus last year, which is, yeah, as you said, primarily driven by great stock market performance. But there were some reinvestments that were made by existing investors.
Yes, and I think that is also an important aspect to understand, is that when somebody invests in a unit trust, they have the option to have their income and dividends paid out or to reinvest it. And a lot of the flows that we saw in the last quarter and year were due to these reinvestments that investors made. So instead of having that money paid out, they reinvested it in their products.
All right. Well, if nothing else, that must be an indication of some confidence. I mean, one of the things that we keep speaking about here on the show is the extent of pressure that many South Africans are under from a consumption perspective and a liquidity perspective. And if investors who I'm guessing are pretty smart with their money are saying, actually, let's put that one back in, it augurs well for a sense of confidence in the South African economy and where markets are going.
Yes, and I also think it talks about the good experience that investors have had with this investment product. They've seen the results, they've benefited from it, so they are happy to reinvest in these products.
Tommy, the transition of government also seems to be a positive factor. The past couple of weeks, we've been speaking to CEOs as results season has been rolling out. And one of the questions we keep on asking them, since this is the first major results season since our election, is their sense of the market, South Africa, their sector. And without fail, every CEO sort of points to this peaceful transition, albeit still choppy and unpredictable, but a sense of moving forward. Is that something that you are excited about when you look ahead at quarter three numbers?
Yes, quarter three numbers will be interesting because I think this increased confidence and positivity will probably shine through. But then, you know, you just spoke about two-pot. So it's not clear how two-pot will come into those numbers, whether the two will cancel each other out. But I think in general, there's definitely a sense of positivity from investors and from asset managers managing the money.
What are you seeing from the perspective of offshore asset managers, including those that I do work with, are obviously very eager to give an offering for offshore, allowing that to stay within South African asset managers' hands, because the appetite seems to be quite high. Where do we sit there in terms of offshore investments compared to the domestic assets under management?
So it's important to differentiate. There are two different ways of investing offshore. You can invest in a local rand-denominated unit trust, which then invests offshore, or you can invest in what is colloquially named as foreign collectives. And these are offshore unit trusts that are approved by the FSCA to be sold in our market. And when you invest in those, you are actually using your foreign currency allowance to invest in those. So we've definitely seen flows going offshore, but that has also tapered off a bit. I think some investors might be reaching their 45% limit. So again, it comes and it goes in waves as the markets move.
Okay. And on the rand-denominated side, nothing special to report?
Those funds, I mean, performance-wise, the global equity funds have done really well. Yes. They've outperformed the domestic categories. But from a flow perspective, we haven't seen massive flows into those funds. There has been flows, but not to the extent that I think some people would think there would be.
Another sense of or litmus test for confidence, which I found interesting in your report, was on the hedge fund side. I think we tend to be gun shy when we're feeling a little bit more risk off and more open to taking the risks and return dynamics of hedge funds when we're feeling a bit more confident in the market. And the hedge fund's assets under management grew at a high, albeit from a smaller base, at a higher rate than assets under management in totality. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the hedge funds in South Africa are definitely not what we see on the movie screens and in TV programs. Our hedge fund industry is much more vanilla. They are used to hedge against massive movements. So they actually do make part of a well-diversified portfolio to protect investors from big swings up and down. So the hedge funds in South Africa, like I say, and you pointed out, they're now at 187 billion. But I think there's still room for growth as investors become more afraid and comfortable with them.
Excuse me. Well, that's very exciting. And you're right around the hedging. But I think alternative investments in general are probably going to be having a better time as we sort of try to seek better and, as you say, more diversified returns. Thank you so much for this perspective on the growth in assets under management in the country, particularly in collective investment schemes, Sunet. Do you have any sense of prediction for Q3, or we'll just wait and see?
My crystal ball has not been working, but I think we are trying to stay positive. Like, yeah. I said, it will be interesting to see what happens with Two-Pot and the effect of that. But then hopefully also buoyed by investor confidence.
Absolutely.
So we're hoping for a positive Q3.
Indeed. And performance, I'm sure, it's especially on the equity markets, if tomorrow's MPC goes the way we all hope. Sunet Mulder,
absolutely.
Always such a pleasure to have you on Kaya Biz. Sunet joins us from ASISA. In fact, she is the senior policy advisor at ASISA, the Association for Savings and Investment, giving us some great news for Q2.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.